Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. This is the Tawheed class, and today we are continuing with the topic of different rulings concerning Ramadan. And the purpose of us going over these rulings now is because Ramadan is just a couple of weeks away, and we need to be aware of the basics concerning fasting now, so that when the month begins, we'll know the basic things we need to know about how to fast, you know, what constitutes breaking a fast, and etc. And then during the month of Ramadan itself, we're going to continue on speaking about the benefits of Ramadan by going over more rulings and more things and the rewards of Ramadan. And also during the month of Ramadan, inshallah, Sheikh Morsi is going to be doing a series of lectures for us too, to go along with this, to try to help soften everybody's heart here, and so they can weep out of remembrance of Allah and get the blessings of Ramadan too. So that's the reason why we're talking about this topic now, so you guys can prepare yourselves mentally and spiritually for Ramadan, which is just a few weeks away. Now, yesterday we went over the Islamic rulings concerning sickness and the people who do not have to fast because of their sickness or whatever. Today we're going to concentrate on the rulings of pregnant women and breastfeeding. And then we're going to talk about the importance of making intentions to fast. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here, which everybody's been waiting for. We're going to talk about things that break the fast. But before we begin today's lecture, let me ask questions from yesterday, because I want to make sure that everybody here understands the basic concepts that need to be understood in regards to fasting if you're sick. Okay? First question, true or false? True or false, if a fasting person develops a cough due to a cold, he can break his fast. True or false, if a fasting person develops a cough due to a cold, as Forrest Gump say, you got cough due to cold? As Forrest Gump says, he can break his fast. True or false? Very good. That answer is false. That answer is false. A cough due to a cold, as Forrest Gump says, does not break your fast. It's not reason for you to break your fast. Next question, true or false? If a person is diabetic and he or she is fasting and they begin to experience a sensation of dizziness and faintness, they cannot break their fast. True or false? If a person is diabetic and he's fasting and he experiences a sensation of dizziness and faintness, he cannot break his fast. Very good. This is false. And we talked about this in detail yesterday. We talked about diabetic people. Remember, guys, Allah is not a masochist. He is not a masochist. He doesn't make the rules he makes as a way of punishing us. If you're a diabetic person and you're trying to fast, if you feel yourself getting sick, you break it. You don't sit there and torture yourself and let yourself go into a coma. Okay? Next question, true or false? If a fasting person falls out unconscious sometime during the day and he comes back to consciousness at midnight, he must make that day of fasting up. True or false? If a person falls out unconscious during the day while fasting and he wakes up at 12 o'clock midnight, he has to make that day up. Very good. The answer is false. And we talked about that in detail. If the person was fasting and went unconscious and woke up after the fast was broken, he doesn't have to make it up. But if that person went unconscious before fasting had begun, he does have to make it up. Very good. Very good. That answer is false. A lot of people don't know that. Next question, true or false? People working in construction outside do not have to fast. People working in construction outside do not have to fast. A construction worker, the guys you see doing that stuff in the street, they don't have to fast. Or a person who's building a business, a building engineer, they don't have to fast. Very good. That answer is false. They still have to fast. However, we discussed in detail how if you are a person working a dangerous or hazardous job and fasting will interfere with you doing your work to the point of endangering your life, then that person does not have to fast. But he has to feed a poor person. And then again, we talked about the rest of the other side of that coin, how the scholars, the majority of scholars say that if you are working a job that interferes with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah, you should quit it. Bottom line, look for a job that's not going to interfere with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah. We talked about that in detail. Next question, true or false? Studying for an exam does not exempt a person from fasting. True or false? Studying for an exam does not exempt a person from fasting. Very good, that is true. And we have so many Muslims who are going to college, they're college students, and they say, hey, I do not have to fast, I'm studying for a midterm. Or they say, I'm in medical school, I don't have to fast. This is incorrect. Again, if it is interfering with your fulfilling your obligation to Allah, you give it up. Nowhere does Allah state anywhere in Islam that you have to go to school and get a college degree. So if getting that college degree is interfering with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah, then you leave, you quit the school. You don't quit fasting. And we have so many Muslim doctors. I know the ones I have, all my doctors are female. They're all Muslim, and not one of them wears a hijab. Not one of them prays five times a day. And not one of them fasts during the month of Ramadan. And I ask them why. Why they don't do it. And they say, oh, I'm a doctor, I have no time. I could be in surgery. Oh, I could be doing this. I say, oh, no, well, if that's the case, you need to go find a new profession. You need to do what Allah says. Go home and stay in your house and raise some kids and practice your religion in. So we have too many Muslims who try to use their jobs or their schooling as an excuse to not fulfill their obligations to Allah. And this is a question, remember, Sheikh Morsi talked about this yesterday. When a person asked the question, will there be any Muslims in hell forever? Any true believing Muslims? No. Allah states that He will remove all those who are truly believers, anyone who has an ounce of faith in his heart, even those who did not fulfill any good deeds. However, we got some Muslims out there, guys, people who are Muslim in name only. Not only do they not fulfill their obligations to Allah, but they commit shirk. They pray to dead people. They associate partners with Allah. They do all kind of stuff. We have to really be careful of this. Because I'm telling you guys, you'll meet a lot of people who say that they're Muslim. They eat pork. They commit, they associate partners with Allah. They celebrate Christmas, Halloween. I got Muslims right now that I know in real life who tried to debate with me yesterday, called me up on the phone talking about their kids are going trick-or-treating, they having some Halloween party. I told them, what do you have your children celebrating the Kafir holiday, especially Halloween? Oh, Sister Allah knows I'm Muslim in my heart. What? I'm Muslim in my heart. This is what we hear nowadays. We're Muslim in our heart. We commit shirk. We associate parts with Allah. We even got Muslims that go to church on Sundays, guys, and pray to Jesus. Seriously. We've seen them come here to the website. Oh, I took Shahada, but I'm still a Christian too. And I had to, how many emails have I sent out telling you guys that you cannot be Christian and half Muslim? You either a Christian or you a Muslim. You either a Kafir or you're not. You cannot say I gave Shahada. So that makes me a Muslim, but I'm still going to go to church on Sunday and help the reverend, you know, and praise Jesus. We got Muslims doing this stuff. Seriously. Okay, so we have to be careful with this type of stuff, guys. But anyone who truly believes in Allah and His oneness and never associated partners with Allah, Allah will eventually take them out of hell. Okay? Next question, true or false? True or false? A chronically ill person is a person who is sick with no hopes of recovery. True or false? A chronically ill person is a person who is sick with no hopes of recovery. Very good. That answer is true. And we talked in detail about that yesterday. We used the example of the diabetic. The diabetic. We got a lot of Muslims who are diabetic. They live regular lives. They work. They go to school. They get married. They have babies. They do this. They do that. Then all of a sudden, when Ramadan comes around, they say, oh, I can't fast. I'm chronically ill. All of a sudden, they've developed a case of chronic diabetes. Now, you ain't in the hospital. You ain't been in the hospital in years. You able to do anything that you want to do. But now, all of a sudden, you chronically ill. And you think you're exempt from fasting. We're going to talk about that today, guys, because insulin does not break your fast. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. A chronically ill person is someone who is suffering from illness with no hopes of recovery. These are people who are basically knocking on death's door. These are the true chronically ill diabetics who are in the hospital fighting for their lives because they're facing death. That's someone chronically ill. These are the diabetics who are hooked up on machines. Okay? This is a person who is dying from cancer. Okay? He has to get chemotherapy. He has to take all these pills. Okay? That's a chronically ill person. A chronically ill person is not a person who has diabetes and takes insulin every day but still lives a regular normal life. Get a life, guys. Remember, we cannot fool Allah. I've gotten several emails here from several of our regular users saying, Sister Layla, I'm a diabetic, so I can't fast. Oh, really? You better wake up, sister. Yes, you can fast. So let's not play games with Allah. We cannot fool Allah. Like Sister Anissa said, we cannot fool Allah. She's a diabetic. She spoke on it yesterday. Okay, you can fast. Okay, next question. True or false? The person who is chronically ill or the person who is so old that he cannot fast, they do not have to fast, nor do they have to make any compensation for it. True or false? The chronically ill and the elderly do not have to fast, nor do they have to make any compensation for that. Very good. The answer is false. And who can tell me what is the compensation? that a person who is chronically ill or too old to fast have to pay? What's the compensation? They don't have to fast, but what must they do? What must they do? Give me the entire exact answer, because the average Muslim doesn't know. What does he have to do? If you are suffering from the chronic diabetes and you're in a hospital and unable to fast, what must you do instead? If you are so old that you are senile, what must you do? Very good. You have to feed a poor person for every day that you are unable to fast. I want the exact answer. Because you say feed the poor, a person think, okay, I'm going to go feed one poor person and that's it. You have to feed a poor person for every day that you are unable to fast. So if you are a diabetic and all of a sudden your diabetes has become chronic and you are laying up in a hospital, you cannot fast or anything, and you're sitting there fighting for your life, you still got to feed a poor person for every day that you are unable to fast. If you have to go the entire month without fasting, then that's 30 poor people you have to feed. If you fasted half the month but got sick on the 28th day, then that means that you have to feed, however many is left over, 14th day or whatever, you have to feed a poor person for those days that you were unable to fast. We have to understand it, guys. Again, that's the basic ruling concerning the sick and the elderly that we all need to be aware of. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next chapter here, which is just going to be really brief. I did talk about it yesterday. The ruling on the pregnant and breastfeeding woman. We got a lot of women who get pregnant, a lot of people who are breastfeeding. But then they want to know, what do they have to do? Do they have to fast? Now, again, guys, pregnant and breastfeeding women, if they fear for their lives or they fear for the life of their baby, they can break their fast and pay the ransom. The ransom is feeding a poor person each day. And they do not have to make those days up. Now, let's talk about this a little bit here. Again, if they fear for their life or the life of the baby, they can break the fast and pay the ransom and not make the days up. So does that mean that you got pregnant, so your husband came to you and told you he don't want you to fast this Ramadan? But you're healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the baby. The doctor told you, hey, this is wintertime. The sun is only up for about 8 hours. Nothing's wrong with you fasting. You're not going to harm yourself or the baby. And you feel good about it. Does that mean that since your husband said, in his opinion, he thinks you should break your fast, do you break your fast? The answer is no. No. And we got a lot of pregnant women who do this. They try to use pregnancy as an excuse to not fast when there's nothing wrong with them and nothing wrong with the baby, especially since we're in the wintertime doing it. And like the doctors say, what's 8 hours? You can go 8 hours without eating something. If you weren't fasting, you would spend that time sleeping. Most pregnant women do. Okay? So again, the key here, guys, is if you fear for yourself or for the baby, then you can pay the ransom. You do not have to make those days up afterwards. And that's based on the hadith from Ibn Abbas. Okay? Ibn Abbas used to say to his wives who were pregnant, you are in the same situation as those who can fast but do not. You are to pay the ransom and do not have to make the days up later. Ibn Umar was asked about a pregnant woman who feared for her unborn baby. He said she is to break the fast and to feed one poor person a day. Again, so if it's going to cause you a hardship, you don't have to do it. If it's going to jeopardize your baby, you don't have to do it. But if you're normal and healthy and well, you can do like my sister-in-law. She fasted last year. I mean, the last time she was pregnant, because she said, hey, the sun is setting. It's okay. The doctor said I'm all right. But now if you do feel sick, remember, guys, if you are pregnant or breastfeeding, whatever, I mean, you are pregnant and you feel sick during the day, you start feeling dizzy and sick, you can break your fast, okay? You're not a masochist. But if it's not a hardship for you, it's not hard for the baby, then go ahead and fast, okay? Okay, and the thing to remember, too, is you have to feed one poor person the same as a chronically ill person. This goes for the breastfeeding woman, too. Now, a lot of times, fasting will affect your breast milk. I know a lot, my sister and them, whenever they got pregnant and had babies, if they didn't eat, their breast milk would not produce. So most breastfeeding women cannot fast. They really can't, because their milk will dry up or it'll affect their milk. In this case, they don't have to fast, but they do have to pay the ransom, which is feeding one poor person for each day they can't fast. And again, they don't have to make those days up either. Okay? Because we had a woman ask a question on our question board about that. She said she ain't fasted in the past 6 years because she's been pregnant for 6 years or breastfeeding. Well, you should have been paying the ransom. If you were unable to fast for 6 years due to pregnancy or breastfeeding, you should have paid the ransom. And if you pay the ransom, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to make any days up. Okay? So you need to understand it about fasting and breastfeeding. Okay, so now this takes us to the next chapter here, which talks about the intentions, the niyat, or the intentions in fasting. We have to understand, guys, intentions. Making the intentions to fast, this is an obligatory act of fasting. It is a required condition in your obligatory fast. You have to have intention. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, there is no fast for the person who did not intend to fast from the night before. So during the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is obligatory. We have to fast during this month. So in order for your fast to even be accepted, you have to make intentions to fast. So now this brings us to a question that many people ask. They say, do we utter the intentions out loud? And you will find many, many Muslims who observe innovative ways, they make their intentions out loud. They say, oh Allah, I intend to fast tomorrow from sunrise to sunset. This is bidah. This is innovation. The intentions lie in your heart. Just like when praying, you don't have to make your intentions out loud when you make salat. The same thing with fasting. Your intentions are in the heart. They are to be made silently. Also, during the month of Ramadan, the person does not have to make intentions every night. You can make your intentions at the beginning of Ramadan for the whole month. So, for example, the night before Ramadan begins, you can make your intentions that night to fast for the entire month, and that's sufficient. That one intention will take you through the entire month. However, if you have to interrupt your fasting because of illness, say for example you get sick and have to put the flu and can't fast for a few days, then you have to make your intentions over again. Okay? So that's an important point here to remember. You can make one intention to fast for the entire month, but if your fasting is interrupted by traveling or sickness or something, then you have to renew that intention over again. Okay? Now, a lot of people will then ask the question, what about our voluntary fast? Now, for voluntary fasting, you don't have to make your intentions the night before. And that's based on the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once entered upon me during the day. And he said, do you have any food to eat? She said, no. So he said, in that case, I am fasting. So he just began to fast from that point on. So for voluntary fasting, you don't have to necessarily make the intentions the night before. Okay? But for the obligatory fast for Ramadan, you have to make your intentions. Okay, everybody understand that? Because a lot of Muslims don't understand that. And again, the intentions are made silently. So thus, this will bring us to another question that people ask. They say, what if a person did not know that Ramadan had began? Say, for example, everybody was waiting for the moon. So they didn't know, but nobody heard that the moon was spotted. So you began to eat the next day. But then you happened to turn on the radio and you heard that the Islamic Fiqh Council of Saudi Arabia had announced that the moon had been sighted and they had begun their fast. You say, oh my, I didn't know. So what do you do then? It's simple. You stop eating and drinking for the rest of the day, and you still have to make that day up. This is very important to remember, because this happens every year, guys. We got a bunch of people who don't follow the sunnah. We got Isna. I'm always talking about Isna here. You got Isna, they never follow the sunnah with Ramadan. They always go by calculation, which is Bida. They never want to listen to reason. Every year, Isna issues a statement saying that they're going to base it on the local sightings. This is not from the sunnah. So there are some people who don't know that Isna indulges in Bida. So they will listen to Isna and say, okay, it's not time to fast. They keep on eating. But then they join our website, like what happened last year. A lot of people joined the Tawheed class and found out we're fasting. Ramadan began. Forget Isna. So they say, oh my God, well, I didn't know. Well, you're not held accountable for what you didn't know. But what you do is, since you know now, you stop eating and observe fasting. And you still have to make that day up later. Does everybody understand that? Because this happens every year for those people who end up following Isna. Okay? So thus, this now takes us to the next question that many people ask. They say, okay, well, when do we start and when do we stop fasting? Well, again, fasting is determined by the sun. When Ramadan begins, we can eat all night long. You can eat until dawn. A lot of people ask, well, what is dawn? They don't know. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes to us what dawn is. Once the end of dawn is when the day first begins, you will see whiteness in the sky. When you see the whiteness in the sky, that is dawn. That is dawn, and you can eat up until then. When dawn comes in, the white light comes across the east horizon. And that's when you stop eating. Or better yet, to show how simple it is, when the adhan is called. For those of us, to make it even more easier, when the adhan is called, the first adhan for Fajr, you can eat up until you hear that adhan there. I mean the adhan for Fajr. You can eat up until you hear that adhan. When you hear the adhan at dawn, then that's when you stop eating and drinking. But if the adhan is called before Fajr, you do not have to stop eating or drinking. You have until Fajr to eat. Okay? And in regards to when do we stop fasting, now this is where the Shiites come in. This is how I can always tell who's Shiite and who isn't. I tell you guys all the time, alhamdulillah, we got a bunch of Muslims joining here from all over the world. Some of our people here are Shiites. Some of them are Sufis. Alhamdulillah, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you're learning the true Islam based on the Quran and Sunnah, and long as you're starting to follow the Sunnah, hey, you're welcome at this website. But I can always tell the Shiites based on this. Fasting is stopped once the entire disk of the sun has disappeared. That is when you break your fast. It doesn't matter that the sun is still red in the sky. Now the Shiites, they don't break their fast until the red is gone completely. And this is wrong. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, once night comes from there, and the day disappears from there, and the sun has set, then the fasting person should break his fast. And that hadith is reported from Al-Bukhari. So you don't wait for the redness to go away like the Shiites do. This is wrong. And I've almost had a fist fight a few years ago. I almost got into a physical fight with a Shiite about this. Unfortunately, you know, I had broke my fast when the sun had set, and a Shiite told me I was wrong, and the Shiite happened to be a relative of mine, and we got to fighting. We actually had a fist fight. The person gonna call themselves gonna hit me? I told him, you don't hit me. So we got to fighting. But anyway, I'm telling you, that is wrong, guys. You do not wait till the red goes away from the sky. Okay? As soon as the sun has disappeared, that's when you break your fast. And also, we have to hurry and break the fast. You don't delay it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would break his fast before praying. And this is another problem that we have with Muslims too. There are some Muslims who will wait and make Maghrib first and then break their fast later. This is wrong. You break the fast first and pray afterwards. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would eat some dates to break his fast, and then he would make Maghrib. So this is also incorrect. You want to hurry to break the fast. You don't want to delay it. Okay? Let's see what else we got here. By the way, guys, this book that we're using, as you guys can see, this is a book written by Sheikh Uthaymeen. Let's see what else we got here from him. Okay, this was a question that was asked yesterday here at the website. A person asked us, what about Muslims who live in a city that has no night? They have a 24-hour day and no night. What do they do? Well, this is the ruling from Sheikh Uthaymeen and also Sheikh bin Baz on this issue as well. They say Muslims in these places should fast according to the times in the nearest city in which there is a distinct alternation of day and night. So say, for example, we do have one sister who lives in Iceland who joins here. She's here now, as a matter of fact. Say if you're in Iceland and you have 24-hour daytime, because I think they do have that there, or 24-hour nighttime or some stuff, then you follow what the people do in the closest city to you that does have a night and day. You fast when they fast and break your fast at whatever time they break theirs. That's for those people who may live someplace like Iceland or other places that don't have a day and night. You follow what the people in the city or country closest to you are doing, okay, that do have night or day. Okay? So now what we're going to talk about briefly are some of the things that break the fast. We now understand who is supposed to fast. We now understand who, what people are exempt from fasting. We now understand when the fast begins, when it ends. So now let's move on to things that break the fast. Now, some basic things that every Muslim woman needs to know is when you're on your period, when a woman is bleeding for the month of Ramadan, that she doesn't have to, in fact, she can't fast. You do not fast when you're on your period. You also do not pray. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened here last year. I'll never forget this. Last year, we had a woman join our website. Sheikh Atlee happened to be here, too, at that day. It was funny. I think about it now. It wasn't funny when it happened because she made me mad. But anyway, we had a woman join the website last year. And it was during the month of Ramadan. So she asked me, she said, what you mean we can't fast during Ramadan? I'm fasting and I'm on my period. So I told her, I said, sister, you cannot fast while you're on your period and you cannot pray. She said, why come I can't? I said, because Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. She said, I don't care what they said. You're not going to turn me against my faith. She told me, you're not going to turn me against my faith. She said, I just became Muslim. Okay? She said, I just became Muslim and I was told that I can pray when I want to pray and I can fast when I want to fast. And my, you don't know my dedication to the Lord. That's what she said, to the Lord. So I told her, I said, sister, you cannot fast when you're on your period and you cannot pray. She got to argue with me, and I'll never forget it. Sheikh Atlee took the microphone and told her, you know, sister, I don't know who told you this stuff, this nonsense, but she's right. You know, you don't do this, and you just can't make up your own rulings like this. She left the website, and then she sent a horrible email. She CC'd to Yusuf Estes, of course, and because that's who I guess she came from, his website. She sent a horrible email to Yusuf Estes calling me a brute, a terrible woman who runs people away from the religion because I refused her the right to be able to pray and fast on her period. And he needs to disassociate himself with people like me because people like me run people away from Islam. People like me are the fanatics. This crazy, ignorant woman. I mean, really, guys, true story. It happened last year during Ramadan. You have to understand, women, that you cannot fast on your period. I don't care whether you want to, whether you like to or not. You cannot fast on your period. You're not getting any reward for it. You're not getting any blessings for that. Also, a woman doesn't fast when she's going through postnatal bleeding. Okay? These things break the fast. Another thing that breaks the fast is having intercourse, having sex while fasting. And we had a problem with this last year too. Many of you probably remember the sister who joined here saying that her husband was forcing her to have sex during Ramadan. She said she's married to some man from Morocco and he told her that she has to have sex with him because he ordered her to. It doesn't matter that it's Ramadan and that they're fasting. Again, guys, sexual intercourse breaks the fast. You cannot have sex when you are fasting. This breaks the fast. And again, anyone who deliberately has sex when he's fasting and he knows the penalty of this, remember, we talked about how many of the companions consider this person to be a kafir and will order him to be executed. So we have to be careful of this. Okay? Also, among the things that break the fast are things that are classified as being like eating or drinking. For example, taking pills by mouth will break your fast. Taking NyQuil by mouth breaks your fast. Injections of food breaks your fast. Now, injections of insulin for a diabetic does not break the fast. But if you are being injected with a food, like say, for example, vitamin C, some people take vitamin C injections or something like that, that would break your fast. Okay? However, being injected with penicillin, this does not break your fast. Insulin does not break your fast. Toxics do not break your fast. For example, I have to go every week to get my allergy shot. I'm allergic to dust. So every week I have to go get a shot. That does not break my fast because they are injecting dust into me, not food. It is not a food replacement. So that type of stuff does not break your fast. So those of you who are suffering from allergies like I do, you take your injection. It does not break your fast. However, a person who has to have kidney dialysis, this does break your fast because this involves putting some food substances such as sugar and salt back into your body. So kidney dialysis does break your fast. Eye drops, eardrops, having a tooth pulled, having a wound treated, none of these things break the fast. Also, for those of you who suffer from asthma, like I do, your asthma puffers do not break your fast because you are injecting a compressed gas, not food. So if you have to take an asthma puffer, use that. That does not break your fast like many Muslims think because that is gas or oxygen. That is not food that you're putting in your body. So you can, you know, use your puffer as much as you need. It will not break your fast. Also, blood testing does not break your fast. If you go to the doctor and the doctor wants to take some blood out to run tests on it, that does not break your fast. Okay, having your ears cleaned, having your nose cleaned, using nasal sprays. Say you are sick, you have the flu, but you're trying to fast, but you have to use a nasal spray. That does not break your fast as long as you avoid swallowing it. Tablets that are placed underneath the tongue to treat a heart attack. That does not break your fast either. If you have angina and you have to take a pill when you feel yourself having a heart attack, that does not break your fast, but taking aspirins do. Aspirins and that type of stuff do. Okay? Inserting things into the vagina, such as a douche, or you have to go to the gynecologist and they want to do a pap test on you. This does not break your fast. Inserting an IUD into the uterus, this does not break the fast. Using a catheter, this does not break the fast. Okay? Dental fillings, tooth extractions, cleaning of the teeth. Using a toothbrush. This is very important because I had another woman join this website last year and try to debate with me, and she wrote another letter to Yusuf Estes, which I could care less. This woman wanted to debate the reality that toothbrush does not break your fast. Toothpaste does not break your fast. You can brush your teeth when you are fasting, guys, as long as you don't sit there eating the toothpaste. It does not break your fast. Okay, gases do not break your fast. If you're a person suffering from emphysema, for example, okay, and you have to get you some oxygen or whatever, that does not break your fast. Medications absorbed through the skin, such as lotion or creams, they do not break your fast. Taking biopsies of the liver or other organs do not break the fast. Having a gastroscope inserted inside your throat, that does not break your fast either. So as you can see, guys, Islam is really simple. A lot of people make it so hard on them. It's not hard to fast. Very few things will break our fast. The things that break our fast are things that involve eating or drinking, that involve food or having sex or being impure from your menses. But many other things do not break our fast. So there's no excuse for many people to not fast. And we come across Muslims every year who are not fasting, and they say, oh, I got asthma and I had to take my puffer. So that didn't break your fast. You could have still continued to fast. We have to stop looking for excuses to not fulfill our obligations to Allah. And we're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we're going to continue by talking about more things in detail that do break the fast. We're going to break it down even more in this next chapter. So we're going to stop right here for today. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.